So now we have the opportunity to listen to the Dhamma, so may you set your hearts on that. And so the Dhamma is the teachings of the Buddha, and therefore while listening to those teachings, you should be practicing and meditating as well. And the meaning of that is to bring one's heart to listen to the Dhamma, sitting, cultivating the heart. Because when listening to the Dhamma, if we listen well with a mind which is peaceful, then we'll have knowledge arise in the present moment. So sometimes we sit and listen and there's peacefulness which comes up, samadhi which arises, which is a peace of heart. And that's because our minds aren't being sent out to recollect things happening in the past, speculate over the future, but rather they're well established here in this present moment. So with us coming on this meditation retreat, practicing the Dhamma, what we're doing is we're training our minds. And the Buddha taught that one who has trained their mind well will experience happiness. Because this meditation, it's a training of the heart, bringing skillful, wholesome, meritorious qualities into the mind. And so we can then change the path that we take through life into a good path, a better path. And so this is building a new way through life. So a new way of organizing our lives, of arranging our lives. A way which is firm in meritoriousness and skillfulness and goodness. So this is something that we can do at home. We can practice this at home. We can do it all the time. When we're at work, for instance, we can be training ourselves. Or we come to take time off to do these meditation retreats, whether we're joining at the monastery or at home. We have these days to be practicing the Dhamma together. And so try to make that continuous, even, consistent. And when we have this evenness and consistency in our practice, then there will be knowledge arising within our hearts. And that the mind will know in the present moment, will be in the present moment, the heart is of the present moment. So these qualities of mindfulness and sampajanya, a clear awareness, these are very important qualities. Because when we sit in meditation, sometimes we feel peaceful and sometimes we don't. But we should be mindful of both of those states, knowing what the mind is like right now. If there's peace, then we know that. If it's not peaceful, then we know that. So we establish ourselves well in this present moment. And as we carry on doing that, then these qualities of sati and sampajanya become more collected and firm. And the mind won't be sent out to follow all of the moods and sensory experiences that we meet with. So we understand that the mind is one thing, its objects are something else. And so to bring mindfulness and make it consistent. So sometimes we've practiced for 3 days already and we don't feel peaceful. We shouldn't worry about that. Just carry on looking after your mindfulness while making it continuous. And as you do that, then this peace will just naturally grow on its own accord. So try to bring this mindfulness to a consistent level, not allowing thoughts of the past or the future to enter into the mind, but bringing the mind into the Dhamma of the present moment. As we do that, then the mind becomes more and more firm and settled, becomes more peaceful. But we also don't need to be too tense or strict around this as well. So we don't have this intent or desire that, okay, on this retreat I'm going to get apana samadhi. Because when we're doing that, then we're sending our mind out. So we should be bringing it here, knowing the present moment instead, training our minds to have a clear awareness of all things. That when we sit in meditation, we know that right now I'm sitting in meditation. We know the breath is like this, I'm reciting Buddha like this. And then when we come out of that formal meditation posture, all we're changing is our posture. But the mindfulness within ourselves doesn't change. So what this is a giving rise of internal effort and making the practice continuous. So when we have this kind of effort continuously, then whatever it is that enters into our hearts, we'll have the presence of mind to be able to know that and to see how all of these things, they arise, they stay for a short while and then they cease. However, if we don't have samadhi, then our understanding of that, our knowledge of that, won't be so clear. So like the suffering that arises within our hearts, the Buddha didn't teach us to be one who suffers, but rather he taught us to know suffering, to know how it comes up, how it stays for a bit, and how it falls away. But there's no need for our hearts to suffer over that. And so whatever it is that we experience, we have that awareness of its arising, its persisting, and its ceasing. And by doing that, our hearts won't be suffering. Because all of these experiences of the mind, we see them for what they are. We see them come up, we see them go. However, if we're lacking in mindfulness, in clear awareness, and in wisdom, then we won't have an understanding over the objects of the mind in line with their reality. So therefore we should meditate, cultivate the heart to bring it to just one sphere of awareness, which is to bring the mind into samadhi. And then when we do that, we'll be able to perceive the objects of the mind in line with their truth. So it's like a glass of water, and there's water there, and there's also a sediment there in the water, but those two are mixed up. And so the water isn't clear. But when there's samadhi that comes up, then that sediment is able to fall to the bottom. And we see how the sediment is one thing, and then the water and its clarity is something else. For that to happen, however, this depends upon our mindfulness. And so mindfulness is the one way, it's the one path, the ekka mago. So we should be practicing and developing, having this knowledge which takes us to seeing the Dhamma, cultivating our mindfulness until it operates automatically. So the arahants, the fully awakened beings, are those who have mindfulness to a complete degree already. And the meaning of that is that they know all of the the experiences of the mind for what they are as they're happening. So these objects of the mind, they're not able to gain entry into the mind then. The arahants, they still have these sense organs. They're still able to feel heat and coolness, but the mind doesn't attach to those experiences because it's seen them for what they are, in line with their truth. It's seen how if we attach to any object of the mind, anything which is anicca, dukkha, anatta, which is inherently changing and unstable, unsatisfactory, not self, attach to anything which is inconstant and permanent, that there's no benefit that arises from that. So they just know that and see its truth and see the Dhamma in that. So for us, we are practicing the Dhamma as well, gaining an understanding into the Dhamma, training in the Dhamma, but we ourselves are not yet Dhamma. And the meaning of becoming Dhamma is knowing and seeing the truth of the Dhamma, taking the teachings of the Buddha and putting them into practice. So we are taking the teachings of the Buddha now and putting them into practice. And what that means is that we're walking the Magga, the Noble Path. And so may you have confidence in this, in walking this path of Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, of virtue, collectedness, and wisdom, because this is the right way. It's not something that we need to doubt about, to feel hesitant over, but rather put our efforts into practicing it in our own hearts. And in, when we're practicing, sometimes we'll feel peaceful, sometimes we won't, but that is something that's normal. This is something that the awakened teachers have passed through already. They've practiced this way already themselves. And then they've taught that way of practice to us. And so the Buddha is just the one who teaches, who tells us this way of practice. But if we don't practice in line with his teachings, we won't get results from them. And those teachings then, for us, don't have benefits to them. That we don't understand them, our practice hasn't yet reached those teachings. So therefore, coming to the monastery and practicing for these days that we have together, may you set your hearts on this practice. Try to maintain your mindfulness. Try to not be sending your mind outside of your body and your mind, and doing various duties around the monastery. Then you have mindfulness there, knowing what your body is doing, what your mind is doing. So like when you chant, do the evening chanting and then the meditation session, and then as you're walking down to your dwelling place, then have mindfulness there, knowing that. And then walking from this hall to the place where you have the drinks, or while you're eating, then have mindfulness with your heart, and following up and knowing what your mind is doing. So it's, well, those who do this, who follow up and know their minds, are the ones who will escape from Mara's trap. And so what that means is all of the things which cause us suffering, that we escape from those. But this depends upon the quality of our mindfulness and our clear awareness. And these are the two most important qualities. And Ajahn Chah, he taught that when we have mindfulness and clear awareness to a full degree already, then wisdom will arise. Because when we have these qualities, then we'll gain insight and understanding. We'll gain understanding into the skillful qualities, into the unskillful qualities. We'll gain a knowledge of this way of practice. And then we have a good foundation and good principles for our practice. So for knowing about this practice already, may you really put in all your efforts into it. Now we've seen the importance of this practice, see the importance of looking after our minds. Because these minds of ours are things which are incredibly important. So we should care for them well. Take care to think good things, to be doing good things, to be speaking good things. And really this all comes within the sphere of the Noble Eightfold Path. That Sila, Samadhi and Panya are all gathered there within our own hearts. So therefore when we're training our minds, when we're following up and looking at our minds, then we're practicing the teachings of the perfectly self-awakened Buddha. Because all 84,000 Dhamma verses that he gave are gathered within the heart. Therefore, this heart is something very important. So we've been born already, and we have a body, and we have a mind as well. And when we chant the verse for the five frequent recollections, that's the contemplating of the nature of old age, sickness, and death, and how we must be separated from the things that we like and we love. So we should then contemplate both this body and this mind, and this body, how it's been born already, that it must die. And that's something that there's no need to doubt about. And this mind is something very important, that if it still has ignorance, then it must be born again. So therefore, while we still have breath, while we still have life, we should take our minds and not be careless with them. That you've traveled far to come here to practice. And perhaps you get the feeling that I've been practicing for a number of days now, but I'm not getting the results that I want. I'm not satisfied with what's coming up in your practice. But to think in that way, it's not correct. So that's thinking about the future. That really in the present moment you are getting results right now. It's like we're eating food and you've eaten 10 mouthfuls already. And so you're full to the degree of 10 mouthfuls already. So if you carry on practicing without stop, then you'll reach a state of complete fullness. And so therefore effort is something that's important. Effort physically is taking this body to do walking meditation, to be sitting in meditation. An effort internally is seeing, are our minds peaceful or not? Are they thinking about the past or the future? If they are, then we know that. Are our minds present here in this moment or not? So sometimes we're able to cultivate samadhi. Other times we sit in meditation and the mind thinks about all different kinds of things. And this is just natural for one who hasn't brought their samadhi to a firm state already, that it's normal for these thoughts to come up, but we should just know those thoughts for what they are. And something that Ajahn Chah would teach frequently is that whatever comes up, we just tell ourselves that this is something that's unstable, it's something that's not sure. And if we can see that, then the mind won't attach to those things because it sees how they are unstable, how they are not sure. It sees how there's not any true self within it. How if we attach to something which is not a true self, then we will suffer. So attaching to any of that, anything which is anicca, dukkha, anatta, brings us suffering. But if the suffering appears, then we know that suffering for what it is and see how that too arises, stays, and ceases. And in the end, there's nothing left. It's anatta. So we should contemplate this anicca, dukkha, anatta. And we can contemplate just one of those, and then that will take us to the others as well, because they're all interconnected. And then we gain wisdom at that point. So in the developing of samadhi, this is samatha gamatana. But really, Ajahn Chah taught that when we practice, we're cultivating both vipassana, this insight, and samatha, this tranquility meditation, at the same time. It's like when we lift up a knife, we lift up both its sharp edge and its blunt edge as well. So therefore, when we are intent on this practice and we are contemplating, then these qualities of sila, samadhi, and panya will gather together within the one heart. And so may you try to practice, even though the time that you have left is not very much. But if you set your heart on it, you will gain these results. You'll see mindfulness grow, you'll see samadhi grow and become more and more firm, gain more and more energy in your mind. So when this happens, then maybe on the last day of this retreat, maybe before that, the mind will gather together and samadhi will come up to a stronger degree than what you've ever experienced in your life beforehand. So whatever posture you're in, standing, sitting, walking, lying down, maintain your mindfulness. When you lie down to go to sleep, lie down on your right side and establish your mindfulness, knowing the breath, or having an awareness of the skeleton in the body. And then when you wake up, you bring up that mindfulness again and make that continuous. And by doing this, you are practicing all throughout the whole day and the night. And this is the correct way of practice. So don't doubt about that. Really, these doubts just come up when we're not seeing the results of the practice, not getting the results that we want. So that's when doubts come up. But when we carry on practicing, then these doubts lessen and lessen. And when do they fall away? Well, it's when the mind has firm peace and wisdom arises. This is when these doubts really start dropping away. But this depends upon our effort as well. So we need to set ourselves on this practice and training. And whatever it is that we are aware of, we can bring this into as a means to reflect upon our own bodies. So like we see leaves falling and we can contemplate those and see how the lives of beings must fall away like this. That some people pass away as children, some as adolescents, as young adults, as elderly people. The leaves in both high places and low places, they all fall. And so we bring this into our own body and contemplate like this, and how birth leads us towards death like this. So we contemplate in this way, trying not to be careless. So any skillful, meritorious states which have yet to arise, we should put in our effort for their arising. And those which have arisen already, we take care of them and nourish them well. So those who practice the Dhamma, then the Dhamma will look after those people. So we need some patience and endurance in our practice as well, and to persist in this, to try to establish our mind well in skillful qualities, in all kinds of good states, to be bringing these up in the mind. Any acts which are harmful, speech which is harmful, thoughts that are harmful, we try to abandon those, and to be keeping the mind with meritorious and skillful states. And by doing this, we're training our minds. We're building a new path through life. So the well-trained mind brings happiness, both happiness now and happiness in the future as well. So, I'm giving this talk to give encouragement to you. Encouragement for you to carry on with your walking meditation, your sitting meditation, to be speaking little, to be watching your mind a lot. And you can try not speaking at all. And then you'll have a good opportunity to really be looking at your mind, having consistent mindfulness, be reciting Buddha continuously. When we do this, then peace, it's not far away from us. Because this peace and samadhi, that really all people have this. It's just perhaps we haven't reached it yet. Perhaps we haven't entered into that peace yet. So in that case, then we need to bring in our effort. And if we do this, then it won't take long for this peace to arise. So we put in our effort, but we also, to the best of our ability, but we also need to be aware of how much strength we have. And some people rest just a very little bit, and that's enough for them. For other people, it takes a bit more for them to feel rested. But if we see the importance of the practice, and then we really put our efforts into that in line with what we're able to do. So like watching the breath, for example. Oh, sorry, it's like this breath, that we see how valuable the breath is for us. So if we really see the nature of the practice, we see that it's just as valuable. And then we put in our effort continuously. And when we have continuous effort, then our mindfulness becomes firm and well established. And when we have firm mindfulness, clear awareness, then we gain an all-round wisdom and knowing of conditioned phenomena. We gain this wisdom which is both sharp and subtle. But this arises from samadhi. We need that samadhi in order for us to be able to contemplate in line with reality. So this wisdom comes from samadhi, and samadhi in turn relies upon sila as its foundation. So these qualities of sila, samadhi, and panya, they all depend upon one another, and they're all gathered within our heart. So therefore, we should care for our hearts, knowing what they're like. Any unskillful qualities that come up, we abandon them. Try to be cultivating the mind, cultivating samadhi in this way, bringing about consistency to our mindfulness. When we do this, then wisdom arises. We'll be able to see how all things are anicca, dukkha, anatta, and wisdom arises here. So the means of bringing the mind to peace, the Buddha taught 40 of those, and what we use depends upon our character and what we're inclined towards. So for some people, they recite Buddha. For some people, they contemplate death, recollect death. And the Buddha taught that anapanasati is the mindfulness of the breath. This is something which is appropriate for people of all different habits and character tendencies. So we use those 40 kamatana objects, and we can pick one of them up, and that becomes a like stairs which take us to peace of mind. And then when we have that peace of mind, then there's this firm knowing in the mind in the present moment. Nadanchar, he taught us then to contemplate the body, because this body is something which is quite coarse, something that we're able to see clearly. If we try to contemplate the mind, then we may not have the energy for that, and it's difficult then for us to do it. And even though we're contemplating, still these feelings of liking and disliking arise. So we should be contemplating the body, looking at our own body, the body of others. You can kind of dissect the body into its different parts. So take off the head, for example, in your mind's eye, and ask it, is this me? And it doesn't say anything, it doesn't claim to be anything. So we carry on doing this for the different parts of the body until peace arises in the mind. You see how the body breaks apart into the earth elements and water, fire, and air. And then the mind becomes more subtle as we see that. We contemplate the elements, and as we do that, we see them become just emptiness, and that there's no true self within that. And we see bodies walking around, and it's just a body walking around. It's not a being, it's not an individual, not me, not you. And see how if we attach to that, then that will cause us suffering. So here the eye of Dhamma opens within our hearts. We already have these physical eyes with which we see external things. But here it's the internal eye appearing within ourselves. This depends upon the practice, upon sila, samadhi, and panya becoming firm for this to arise. So whatever it is that we experience, that we feel, that we have mindfulness and wisdom, knowing that. So for all of you who've had this intention to come here to practice, and those joining us online, I rejoice in the goodness of this act, and may you be firm in your efforts to not stop developing goodness, to not stop your practice of the Dhamma. And one day you will reach the goal of your practice, which is Nibbana. As the end point of this body is its demise and its breaking apart, the end point of this mind is Nibbana. And so I, Anumodana, for all of you, rejoice in all of you, the goodness that you are creating, and may you grow in the Dhamma. May you grow in blessings, and may all of you see the Dhamma.